All right, here's what we're going to do now. We're going to hear some stories. Four stories. Stories dealing with disability and the pain that comes from that, with divorce and the pain that comes from that, with depression, and then with disease. And the four people we're going to hear are, first, they'll go in this order: Amy Palagia, Leanne Wright, Johnny Price, and Louise Rogers. I really appreciate the four of them to be willing to share their own stories. They weren't given a lot of time to do this, so they've had to give us an abbreviated summary of their story. But as you well know, sometimes telling a story of pain is painful. And so I've appreciated their willingness to open up and share their story. So we will just begin with Amy, and then each will follow thereafter.
Hi, everyone. My name is Amy, as he said, and this is my husband, Florine. And I'm going to tell you the story about our daughter. After an apparently normal pregnancy, I gave birth to our daughter Anna on April 6, 2006. It was such a miracle, and we left the hospital 2 days later, never suspecting what was to come. A week later, we saw our family doctor, who let us know that Anna had a heart murmur and a suspicion of Down syndrome. I have since heard many horror stories of how people found out right after birth that their child had Down syndrome. And so I believe in our case that the Lord graciously blinded the eyes and ears of the medical providers, because no one in the hospital said anything and she was seen by multiple providers. We had that first week to specially bond with our little girl before our world changed. Upon hearing the news that Friday, Good Friday, 2006, I was devastated. I felt so sad for Anna and what she might have to encounter in life. I was crying because she would probably never go to college, she might never get married, and those were two very enriching experiences for me. I was also fearful of how people would relate to her and what friends she might have. But God used our Christian cardiologist that we saw the next Monday to really speak to our hearts. And he said, "I know this was not your dream for your lives, but God is not surprised. He chose specifically you, Amy, and you, Florine, to be the parents of this little angel. He knew that she needed you and you her." My journal entry for that day, April 17th, 2006, ends with, "So there it is, Lord. Not what we planned on or imagined for ourselves or our child, but what you ordained. Why us? Why her? We don't fully know, but we have to believe that this child is the answer to the prayer of our heart. And this child will be the one to point students to you, because part of what we do is reach out to wonderful international students. And our prayer before Anna's birth was that the Lord would use our child to love students from around the world. And incidentally, we chose her name before we knew its meaning. Her name is Anna Christina, and that means gracious Christ bearer. And that is what she is. I mean, she loves people. She loves the students. Last night we had a student from Rwanda and a student from Moldova that Anna had never laid eyes on before come to our house. She immediately went up to them, gave them the biggest hug, and she makes people feel good. So anyway, I'd like to share several ways that God has used this experience in our lives and in the lives of others. And my first lesson is my absolute need to depend on God. Part of that I know is being a first-time mom and being anxious about everything. Why is her nose running? Why is she crying? Why is she spitting up? But then a bigger part of that was being the stress of being a new mom with a child with a disability and all that I felt that was required of me. When we first went to the genetic doctor, we were given a 2-page handout of things to look for in Anna. She might have heart problems, she might have thyroid problems, she might have celiac disease, she might have orthopedic problems, she has to go to the eye doctor, she has to, I mean, all these lists of things were really overwhelming. She had therapies 3 times a week starting at 3 months. And all those things that I was supposed to do at home to follow up on all of those therapies made me feel the burden of her success was on my shoulders. And I soon realized that I cannot do this. And God must help me if I'm going to make it. 2 verses I want to read for you. This is from the Amplified Bible. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Familiar, but I like the way it's translated here. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. And then verse 8 says, it shall be health to your nerves. Now, isn't that great? I don't know about you, but I have some nerves. So I love that translation. And then something I've been meditating on recently, Psalm 62, 5 through 8. My soul wait only upon God and silently submit to him, for my hope and expectation are from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense and my fortress. I shall not be moved. With God rests my salvation and my glory. He is my rock of unyielding strength and impenetrable hardness, and my refuge is in God. Trust in, lean on, rely on, and have confidence in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. I really like those. My second lesson is learning not to get stuck in the why question. Years ago, I listened to a tape called Why God, Why God, Why God, Why? And at first, I was really there. And even since then, I go through periods of that same question. But the Lord really spoke to Florine's heart to show him that we need to move from asking the why question, because we may not get an answer. And even if we do, it may not satisfy us. But we need to move from there to what now? What do you have for me now? What direction should we take from here? Florine's words to me were that Anna would live in a different dimension of life because of that extra chromosome in every cell. Her life would take on a different flavor and color, perhaps with less anxiety and more simplicity. And if this life was all there is, it might be sad to know that she might not excel in school or that she might not do all the things that we Americans perceive as successful. But as David mentioned earlier, God has a bigger perspective. And I read a quote at a school for special needs children that says, God has equipped each person with everything he or she needs to accomplish his will for their lives. Therefore, Anna has all she needs to do God's will for her, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with her God, like it says in Micah 6:8. So my hopes and dreams for Anna can shift to wanting her to love God and people and be happy, however that plays out in her life. And then lesson 3 moves to the question of trust. Do I trust God's goodness and love? There have been and will be points of time when I mourn for her disability and how she may be viewed or accepted in society. This is a real tender spot as a mom, you can imagine. And when she was diagnosed with a hearing loss last fall requiring hearing aids, I again asked the question of why and will I trust God in the second disability? Yet I realized that when I fear or I mourn for things that haven't happened yet, I'm not surrendering my life and Anna's life to God. And I'm speculating that he's not in that future. I'm not seeing him in my future, not remembering that he will be with us in whatever our future holds. God has truly been so good to us and taking care of us in so many ways. Why should I doubt that he'll continue to do that for me and my precious child? Last lesson is, do not judge or be judgmental, but be more willing to extend grace. This seemed to me kind of a strange lesson, but it was one of David's points, so that made me feel good. I'm not sure why I've learned this so profoundly, but I realized that we should not presume to know what others are going through or what motivates their responses. Some things happen that touch us so deeply and so profoundly that we respond in different ways, and sometimes we end up in situations that we never would have expected. And I believe that probably most people do the best they can in any situation. I am much more motivated now to speak less and extend grace. I want to be first about being compassionate towards others and giving them the benefit of the doubt. I want to extend the grace that I've received and love with the love of God. So in conclusion, I'm reminded that his ways are higher than my ways, his thoughts than my thoughts. I'm reminded that my perception of what is good and what is bad may not always be accurate, particularly in light of the redeeming power of God. While many places in the world, and even here, may look on a child with disabilities as having no value and as being a bad thing or a bad break, God dearly loves my child as we do and sees her of utmost value. And in reality, Anna is one of the best things that's ever happened to us. I was going to bring her picture, and I forgot. But she's funny. She laughs all the time. She makes us laugh. She's spunky and animated and strong-willed and yet very cuddly and loving. And I want to close with one scripture passage, 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. For consider, brothers, the way God called you, that not many of you, in accordance with human standards, were wise. Not many influential, not many of high birth, just the opposite. God chose what the world calls foolish to put the wise to shame, what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame, what the world calls of low degree, yes, what it counts as nothing and what it thinks does not exist, God chose to put a stop to what it thinks exists, so that no mortal man might ever boast in the presence of God. So as the scripture says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So, thank you.
I'm Leanne Wright, and that's my husband, Jim. We have three great kids. Daniel is 23, Emily is 16, and James is 13 today. He would want me to make sure I told you that because he's reminded us of that every day for the last week. My story of marriage and family has not always been what I experience today. This is my second marriage. We live in a culture where half of all marriages fail, but I never thought that I would be on the failure end of that statistic. But in 1987, after 7 years of marriage, and with a two-year-old son, that's exactly where I found myself. I was married the first time at age 20, and while I was a believer, I was not walking with God. I did not consider him or biblical principles when I chose to marry. The first marriage was a constant struggle, manipulation, lack of trust, rejection, loneliness, and throughout the marriage, lots and lots of counseling. I'll never forget, after the first counseling session, the words that the counselor spoke to me. He said, Leanne, you have a choice to make. You will either choose to live the rest of your life experiencing what you do now, or worse, or you'll divorce him. I was stunned. I did not go to the counselor to hear that kind of advice. I was filled with grief and a sense of hopelessness. Where do you go from there? So I contemplated these things and I decided, well, if I were going to stay married, then I was going to have to shoulder the burden. And I set about the work of doing just that. I was going to make it right. I had gotten myself into the marriage, and I was going to fix it. I did everything in my power. But instead of getting better, my burden only increased. I did not share my struggle, my pain, my loneliness with anyone until years later, after another failed round of counseling, I finally confessed the situation to my parents. And in the end, I had to come to the realization that I could not make it better. And the marriage ended. The emotional wreckage from the marriage was vast. And as I started walking from there, I struggled now to balance the weight of the emotional baggage with my newfound responsibilities as a single parent. But once again, I just thought, well, I'll dig deep and I'm going to be able to make things all right for my son and myself. I mean, I figured, you know, after all, why couldn't our story end up being like the stories from those TV movies of the week? Where, you know, in the end, it's all sunshine and triumph. But the truth of the matter is that the harder I tried, the worse I felt. There was no escaping the pain. I could work extra jobs to meet our physical needs, but we were hurting terribly, and I could not make that okay. I found that I could no longer bury the feelings of anger and bitterness, of guilt and shame, the loneliness, it was overwhelming. And while the divorce was in my rearview mirror and getting smaller every day, the pain and the hurt never went away. I just kept hoping that it was just gonna disappear and it was just, everything was just gonna be okay. One day I was just gonna wake up and it was going to be gone. But finally, in exhaustion and desperation, I called out to God, and he answered me. John 15:5, he said to me, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And at that moment, I completely surrendered my false notion that in my own power, I could do anything. I could make any of it right. God began a healing process at that time, and he showed me by peeling back the layers of my circumstance so that I could see things from his perspective. He helped me to see through my anger and bitterness towards my ex-husband, to see my mistakes and to see them as sin. Yeah, I'd gotten pretty busy trying to take the speck out of my ex-husband's eye and had really become quite oblivious to the plank hanging out in mine. And through that pain, God led me to true repentance. And he showed me that trust and dependence on him were the only pathways to peace, healing, and restoration. Pride in the form of self-reliance was my stumbling block. It was my idol, and it just simply led me into greater despair. And while the consequences of my divorce would never go away, he showed me that his grace was sufficient for me. And he led me by his truth to healing, forgiveness, freedom. I began to walk in God's light. I began to walk in His truth and use His word as my guide. And you know, when you've been lied to and manipulated, you have a real heightened sense of awareness for truth and a real desperate need for truth. And God showed me that He was trustworthy. He showed me His faithfulness. And by His word, He healed my mind and my heart. And you know, God showed me that not only was He a God who forgives, but something that I had just never dreamed, really, He's the God who restores. He is the God who restores. Because see, when I look at my husband and my children, my family, what I see is a testimony of God's loving kindness and His faithfulness and His healing restoration.